Well, good evening. I'm sure everyone had a good afternoon. I got some. We're glad you're here tonight. Looking forward to the service. Let me double check. Yeah, the last song that we'll sing is I Surrender All. You might want to keep that out. Turn it upside down in your pew. Keep on your lap. We're going to refer back to that in the message tonight. No handouts, but I will make my notes available if anyone asks for them. But I want to more just focus on hearing what I have to say and seeing it in the Bible in your hymn book and not following along and trying to fill in the blank for tonight. Just something, may not be as long as normal, but I could be wrong. But something's been on my heart. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm also still working. I want to be a little more thorough on the next series on Do You Really Know What You Believe? We'll talk about the rapture next Sunday night and maybe try to get some diagrams to give you as well as on the screen. So I felt the Lord directed me in this area to give me more time with that. So I hope it's a blessing to you tonight. And I mentioned it this morning. And here he comes. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Thank you for the joyous service and fellowship. And Lord, thank you for the good service we had this morning, the beautiful weather you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the rain that may be coming our way, a little sprinkling, Lord, and the good or warm, nice warm weather that's coming to follow, Lord. Just a beautiful late winter, early spring, Father. We're so grateful for how you do treat us and love on us so much, Lord. We're so grateful. Help us tonight to have grateful hearts and look at our own hearts and our own minds about any areas of our life, Lord, that we have not fully surrendered to you. Now, Lord, help us tonight as we lift our voices in song in Jesus' name. Amen. And please ask the Lord's blessings on our offering tonight.
This day you gave us, Father, thank you for the privilege we have of coming to your house here tonight, Father, and hear your word preached. Thank you for our pastor who does a marvelous job, Father, through your Holy Spirit to enlighten us through your word, Father. We look forward to the message he has for us tonight. And Father, as part of our worship, we want to give back a portion of what you've given to us, blessed us with monetarily this week. So Father, we take this offering with our thanks, Father, and for the furtherance of the ministries here at Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear, and also, Father, for the support of our missionaries throughout the world. And we thank you, Father, again, for the honor, the privilege we have of giving back to you. And, Father, we thank you for being our great and precious God, and we thank you for the greatest gift, Father, and that's your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Have your Bibles tonight. We're going to be looking here in Philippians chapter 3. In just a moment, we'll read verses 4 through 9, just a moment, Philippians chapter 3. And of course, if you still have your hymn book on hymn number 153, we'll close with that, but just have it available so you can see the words and have those there in front of you. Before we get started, though, I just want to take a moment. Anybody have a blessing they want to share? Anybody have a testimony you want to share? Somebody you learned something new about another church member, another church family member? I've been challenging you to get to know one another, pray with one another, talk to one another, share a blessing. Miss Margo in the back. Yes, amen. This is helping out the nursery. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. More families getting. Amen. 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 Anyone else with a blessing they want to share? Or found out something new about another brother or sister in Christ? Yes, Miss Margo. Yes, amen, that's right. I'm surprised you didn't mention it, brother. Yes, so it's finalized, it's done, it's all ours and ready to occupy. Well, we've been occupying, but the final inspection is over, so what a blessing to know that part is behind us, amen. And no gigs, right? No problems, no...
He's been all 5 minutes.
Praise the Lord. He was hungry. Amen, amen. All right, anyone else? All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Philippians, and we'll start reading here in just a moment. Philippians chapter 3, and verses 4 through 9, and I want to encourage you to continue, as I mentioned this morning, in reference to the theme in faith, family, and fellowship, as we pray for our church, pray for our church family, our community, being involved and getting a place how you can get plugged in, whether it be at Proclamation, being involved in helping the ministry get the Word of God out, whether it be encouraging and supporting our missionaries. I know I appreciate Brother Tony and Miss Marlene receiving and contacting our missionary. Brother Fosney came in, making sure they were settled and in the room and had everything they needed, so I greatly appreciate that. It's involved in serving. Of course, our property care, we got many involved in taking care of the property inside and outside and laboring and volunteering their time, and of course, our parishioner care and our pastoral care, and I greatly appreciate the help in those areas as we labor together in reaching others, because we, you know, we're living in a time that things have changed so much, and I won't take the time to go into all of this, but give you a chance to think about it. Maybe we'll have another discussion on the evening service or men around the table on Tuesday, but about how much our churches have changed. How much even the fellowship within churches that I think that have changed, where people are so busy in their life, they don't have time. I remember when all of our kids were home, and I'll tell a story on my daughter, Rebecca. I remember when church was over, my kids they didn't want to leave. I mean, they were in the parking lot. The church was over. We had teen church on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, and we were involved in a good-sized church and had a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers. But the teenagers were there. They were either in the foyer or they were outside there in Florida underneath the awning just talking, fellowshipping, and laughing and having a good time. I mean, it was like we were already getting the kids to go. Moms and dads were fellowshipping while their kids were fellowshipping. And it's a good sign of a healthy church. And I remember telling our kids one night this, look, hey, guys, we can't stay as long in fellowship tonight. I'm going to give you time. I know you want to talk to your friends. At that time, our daughter was a teenager. She was 16 or 17. And that social is very important for the teenage girls. I said, but when I come by tonight and say, hey, we need to wrap it up, that means you've got about 2 minutes to wrap it up and get to the car, because I can't remember what was going on, but I just said, we've got to get back to the house. We had like a 40-minute drive to church and going home, and so I made the comment about it. And the kids were talking and carrying on, and went by and told Rebecca, hey, Rebecca, get ready to leave in a couple of minutes, sweetheart. You need to wrap it up. And so I got her brother and her sister and their mother in the car looking around. Where's Rebecca? She's not there. So, all right, I'll give her a little grace. I don't want to embarrass her. So I hollered out, Rebecca, time to go, sweetheart. And gave her a few more minutes. And another few minutes went by, and she's still over there jacking her jaw. So her father walked over there, reached over, grabbed her arm, flipped her over my shoulder, and picked her up and walked to the car. And that was the last time I had to say, sweetheart, wrap it up, let me tell you. But she's claimed to be embarrassed and just horrified. But the next Wednesday night, I was greeted by the teenagers coming into church. Oh, Brother Cook, that was so cool. That was great. And of course, so then it wasn't so bad and she didn't mind. But I still said, still, one warning, and that's it. When it's time to go, it's time to go. But I did say all that to say, it's encouraging to see the fellowship. Encouraging not just on a Sunday night, Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but through the week when folks get together, encourage, have a game night, have a meal together, do things, it's good. And I think some of those things like that, if we let them fall from the wayside to the wayside, I think that's why we have some of the problems we do in our churches today. And there's no surrender anymore with churches. People just saying, okay, Lord, I belong to you. I mean, there's been times in our life we surrendered to the conviction of the Holy Spirit the day we got saved. We surrendered to the Holy Spirit when we realized that, yes, my first step of obedience is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then we're growing in the Lord, and then we surrender to the aspect of the tithe. It means the tithe regularly on a regular basis, and I commit to do it all the time, and we've been doing it. And then there might be another surrender along the way of maybe getting involved in the choir, teaching a class, ushering, being involved in ministry in the nursery, saying, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And then some time goes by and it's like, one more certain thing, we think there's nothing else to. There's nothing more. Are we still doing all those things that we surrender to? Are we still doing those things that God has worked on our heart about doing? Shouldn't the surrender still be there, even though you may be a member of a different church? Same Bible, same Holy Spirit, same Savior, shouldn't that still be there? And our ministry and our labors for the Lord, wherever the Lord may move us in our ministry and things that we're being involved in. And I think in many ways, not just a core of our churches, but churches as a whole, where so much has gotten away from them, not just the preaching of the word, but people being involved in ministry and doing the things that God is working on their heart. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3, and I'll read verses 4 through 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things, and notice verse 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight and our time together. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we be challenged. May we be reminded. May we be encouraged in so many ways in our walk and our service and in how we encourage and mentor others for the service of the Lord. Father, meet with us tonight. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul was counting his losses as gains. So often we are concerned about things that we lose and we sorrow and have pity, but he's counting them as gains. Notice again what he said in verse 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. See, there are some things in life we ought to relinquish to our loss and others to our gain. So much, I think, in many aspects, if we analyze our life, there's things about us have changed when we've made a sacrifice or we think it was a sacrifice, but we find out we gave those up to the Lord, but we really don't miss them like we said we would, thought we would. We don't miss some of those things as much as we used to be involved with it. To do God's will and to bring him glory, saints have left many things behind. And we'll look at just six tonight, and I'm sure there's others. You may know some more, some modern-day ones, but we'll just look at six with a few brief comments about each one. The first one is Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. Elisha left the plow to become a great prophet of God. Yes, the farm boy, the man who worked hard all of his life, he left it all to follow God. Everything that he knew, he left. Then we have Abraham. In Genesis 12, he left the Ur of Chaldeans and its idolatry and followed the leading of the Lord and became the father of a nation from which the Redeemer should come. I'm sure that Abraham wondered what would this mean by giving all of this up to follow the Lord. But little did he really realize the impact that he would have on the whole world. He became a blessing, again, to the whole world by that simple act of surrender. Yes, Lord, whatever it is that you'd have me to do. And then we move along and we see Joseph. Joseph left his coat in the hands of Potiphar's wife rather than lose his purity in Genesis chapters 1 through verses 20. He felt there's some things that were just needed to be protected. His faithfulness was rewarded for many, many years. That one act of faithfulness when he made a commitment to surrender to the Lord and even endangered himself by running and leaving because it was the right thing to do. And then we look at David. David left the armor of Saul for good, knowing it was a weight for him. Remember, Saul was saying, here, you know, take my way. Here, faith. Giant. But no, he knew that it was too much for him. See, I've got on a pair of shoes tonight that fit me just right. This is me. Lord has made me good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. He has made me for who I am and you for who you are. And we should take those things that we have to use it for his glory in his way. He will sharpen us. He will prepare us. He will use us with the gifts that we have and develop the gifts that maybe we don't realize we have down the road. I won't go into it all, but again, I've mentioned before that the last thing in the world I wanted to be was a public speaker or preacher. I just got nervous. And I know countless other preachers who gave their life to Christ and surrendered, many of them having little to no education, even having to improve their reading to study to prepare for the ministry, but they did it, and God developed them, and God used them for His glory. Speaking of weight, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, as Paul writes, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Sometimes there's things in our life that are a weight to us in our new life in Christ is keeping us from serving in the way the Lord would have us to serve, and that's what they're talking about. We may need to lay those things aside. We need to move forward that we might be fully and wholly yielded to the Lord, that we might be used to Him. We might need to surrender some things. I won't go into the details of all the details tonight, but I believe, and I've read somewhere, and I may need to do a little more reading, I just thought of it, is that I understand that Billy Sunday walked away from a career in baseball because God called him to preach. He had a higher calling in doing something else. There's so much that I think the Lord wants to do in each of our lives, even until our last breath. No matter what our frame or what our age is or what our time in life or where our Christian growth is or things that God has. And just right here at Harvest Baptist Church, there are some things that you can do better than me. There are some things that you can do that I may not be able to do or reach them whom I may not be able to reach. You know, I've shared illustrations before of other men where pastors had a difficult time reaching these men and reaching these men and couldn't understand why, but God used someone else unexpectedly within the ministry that wanted to get involved to reach others that preacher or someone else in church had a hard time reaching or ministering to because of commonalities and things in their life where their spirits were just knitted and God used them to get them in church or bring them back to the Lord. God used Elisha, Abraham, Joseph, and David in the great exploits David had to do for the Lord. He chose what he knew and had proved. Nothing flashy, just his sling and those smooth stones, what he was familiar with. And dear friends, it's good to be familiar with the Word of God to use. It's good to be familiar with the things that we have that God has entrusted him with to minister to others. Sometimes it's things that are unexpected. I remember when we were in Germany ministering to the military, and I'll think of his name in a moment, but we had a young man, and I shared a little bit of a testimony about him, but I'm going to share a little bit more about him. He came to church, and he did eventually get saved, but I think I mentioned before his first service, he mentioned that he was an atheist. And that anyway, but one of the reasons why he came to church was because of the other single soldiers in our church made a comment, hey, because they tried to get him to come to church, and he wouldn't come. And he said, you know what? If you come to church, the pastor's wife will invite you over to their home for a home-cooked meal. She does all the single soldiers. Every week, we've got guys sitting around the table enjoying a home-cooked meal. Miss Michelle loves to cook. So when he came, he told me, not only did he say I was an atheist, he goes, I heard your wife was a good cook and I was offered a free meal if I came to church. And I just smiled and I laughed and said, young man, you're welcome to join us. Let me point her out to you so you can make sure you have an invitation. And so I mentioned there's my wife, she's right over there getting ready to go to the piano. And he came to church and he came to Sunday afternoon meals. And he enjoyed, here's a picture of some things that took place before he got saved. He got so comfortable around our table of eating some of these meals that one Sunday he looked over to one of the others and goes, are you going to finish up that gravy on your plate? I mean, this boy, he was a big kid. He was an MP, about 6'6", and he could put away the groceries. And he looked over and said, Mr. Michelle, are any more biscuits in the oven? I mean, he was calling me Preacher Michelle, Miss Michelle before he ever got saved. And she goes, let me go look. And she went and pulled some biscuits out. And he was there cleaning his neighbor's plate with the gravy left over from chopstick and gravy and potatoes and green beans. And then he got through. Bless his heart, he was still hungry. And he went over to the stove and he goes, Miss Michelle, could I clean out this crock pot of gravy? But he picked up that crock pot, went back to the table and sat down, was holding that crock pot insert. And he was just cleaning that out with his biscuit. I said all that to say this. Michelle ministered to him through his stomach, through cooking, but he came back because he felt welcome. He felt comfortable with asking to clean someone's plate next to him, to ask Michelle about cleaning the crock pot. And he just kept coming back for the meals and for the preaching. And eventually, he got saved. And again, it was that he waved the hanky, the white towel, whatever the flag of surrender, the day that he realized he needed Christ. Again, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us. Take and use what God has equipped you with. David used what he was familiar with, his little pouch, his sling, the stones at the river, nothing flashy, just what he was comfortable with. And God has gifted all of us with gifts and abilities to use to bless and to serve others. But if we wave that flag of surrender, I'm past salvation, I'm past baptism, I'm past giving and being faithful to church, but I mean in service and where I can serve and be used most effectively. And then number 5, we see the Samaritan woman. She left her water pots after receiving eternal life. And if you think about it, she became a home missionary. Think about it. John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 30. I won't read it all. Just read the last 3 verses. The woman then left her water pots and went her way into the city and saith unto them, after she had met Jesus, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. She pointed them back to Christ, and they went into the city to meet him because of the change that took place in her life. She waved the flag and realized her need for Christ and immediately started using what she had. Here's the thing. She might have had a reputation for some things that were different, but she used that in that moment to point people to Christ and to tell them where to go and where to see him. Elisha, Abraham, Joshua, David, the Samaritan woman, and then number 6, back to our text, Paul. Paul left behind his misplaced religious zeal because it was a total loss to him compared to knowing Christ and working for him there in Philippians 3, 7 through 9. Again, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, sat on the Sanhedrin, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was known, but yet he left all of that to go labor for the Lord Jesus. See, no one ever achieves spiritual greatness until he has fully surrendered himself to God. Maybe if we feel the Lord is not using us adequately, or maybe we feel like we want the Lord to use us more, can I ask the question? Maybe could it be that you have not achieved spiritual greatness because you have not fully surrendered to him? Are we holding something back? Is there something we just don't want to reveal, that we want to keep concealed? Have we fully surrendered to him? See, victorious living comes only as we abandon our temporal, earthly things of life, counting them but loss, as Paul said, as we surrender to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he is Savior, but is he really Lord? Are you allowing him? Now, he's Lord whether you recognize it or not, don't misunderstand me, but are you allowing him to have full reign? Have you waved the flag of surrender in service? Lord, whatever you would have me to do. I know I struggled with that greatly as a teenager and as a young adult before finally surrendering to the Lord what the Lord had called me to do, because I was so afraid, intimidated, not sure that I could do, perform. And that was a problem, that word I, and not knowing that Lord could do. If the Lord could take a man, and the Apostle Paul, highly educated, but yet feared by Christians, and turn things around to use him to pen all that he penned in the Word of God, and using him to reach the multitudes. The Samaritan woman whose reputation changed. A Joseph, again, all that he went through and being sold into slavery. Elisha walking away from the massive lands and all that he had in the farming to serve the Lord. Abraham, even within his wealth, and God still blessed him even more, but he went not knowing where he would go, and he just stepped out by faith. You see, victorious living comes only as we abandon, again, those temporal things. But as we prepare the close tonight, I want to talk about that hymn. So if you have your hymn book, if you'll look at that. Once again, I surrender all. And then we'll have a time of prayer and maybe a time of invitation where we can just reflect and pray and talk to the Lord and ask ourselves, have I not only genuinely surrendered, but am I still obedient unto that which I've surrendered to? And if I have not fully surrendered, am I willing to take that step of faith and say, okay, Lord, whatever it is that you would have me to do, and my surrender and service and being involved in the Lord's work. The hymn writer, Judson D. Van Deventer, wrote the words to I Surrender All after surrendering his many talents to an all-wise Savior. And what is the Lord, again, asking you to relinquish for His glory? Whatever it is, you may be sure that His blessings will abundantly repay all and any earthly losses we may think that we'll experience because we've surrendered. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. Are we living daily in the presence of God? The next verse. All to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. So often, even within our culture, not just the Middle East, but our culture, the bowing of the head is a sign of humility. The bending of a knee. We may bow the head, we may bend the knee, but is our heart fully surrendered? Are we humbly approaching the throne of grace in prayer and in word and in service and in worship? All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. And then the third verse, all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. Do we? Have we acknowledged that we belong to Him? I am His, He is mine. Humbly, I give myself. I surrender to the Lord. And then the last verse, all to Jesus, I surrender. Take me, Savior. Again, holy Thou. The third verse, let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. And then that last verse, all to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. See, here's the thing about giving. It's not, okay, here you go, Lord, you can have this part. But it's fully giving. We were at a missions conference several years ago, and the missionary at that time, I can't remember, I think he was going to South America. He was married and had, I don't know, 6, 8, 12, 15, 20 kids. I can't remember. It was one of those big missionary families. And one night he was presenting his ministry, and part of the ministry, he used an illustration. And I used that illustration down the road, and I had a gentleman do something for me, but I had him make a very large offering plate, big enough to stand in it. And he took that, he took the aspect and the idea of made a place there and asked, and he stepped inside of it and said, you know, when we give, God only asks 10% for our tithe, but He asks for all of us in surrender and service unto Him. Some of us He'll use in full-time ministry. Some of us He'll use in support ministry, supporting your pastor, your local church, and your family. But God asks for all of us when we surrender to Him in service. Doesn't mean He's going to call you into full-time service. Doesn't mean He's going to send you to the jungles of Africa or somewhere that's difficult or the Middle East. It just means I'm saying, Lord, here I am. I'm all Yours. And that's what that verse is saying. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art Thine. Then He says, I give myself, in that last verse, to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. And then the chorus backs it up. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Have we taken that aspect and fully surrendered? Or like the tithe, we're only given 10% of ourselves, our talents, our abilities, our worship, our involvement, our faithfulness. Are we still tithing on that too? Or are we giving ourselves fully and wholly to the Lord Jesus, knowing and realizing that, hey, whatever my Savior ask, I am willing to give. So, dear friends, have you waved the flag of surrender to the Lord? Are you doing what He wants you to do? I want to ask Marlene to come to the piano and play I Surrender All. We're just going to play a verse of invitation or two. I just want to simply ask you, where you sit at an altar, it doesn't make any difference to me, to just reflect and ask. And ask the Lord, have I truly surrendered? And if so, praise God. And if not, do you need to? If you've maybe surrendered fully in the past where you made some commitments, but to be honest, I'm in a different church, in a different location, doing something different, I really should get back to doing what I surrendered to do some years ago. Whatever that case may be, and the Lord's worked in your heart. But remember, our passage in Paul is talking about a full surrender. In other words, a blank check. Lord, I don't know what it is, but you have all of me. And now, Lord, speak to my heart. Show me how I can be involved, how I can serve, how I can encourage my pastor, my church family, how I can minister to others, how I can make a difference in my community. Lord, I want to be fully surrendered. Because, dear friends, so often we don't know what it is until we take that step of faith. Our writer of our song that we went over sang tonight, and I shared, again, that last part. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. And then, of course, I surrender all. Father, bless these next few moments as our panelist plays, and each of us can reflect in our life the aspect of surrender and asking ourselves, am I like Elisha, Abraham, Joseph, David, the Samaritan woman, the Apostle Paul, and there's many others that we can use in the Bible, but have I fully surrendered, but also am I still doing that which I've surrendered to? Am I still serving in the capacity where You urge me to do when I made that surrender? Father, help us each and individually to examine that and evaluate that, but then ask ourselves, if I have not surrendered, have I been keeping back a portion? Father, really, would You bring conviction? Would You help us to make that decision to say, Lord, here am I, all of me I surrender. Lord, use me as You determine. Father, bless this time of invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you where you're set to pray. Talk to the Lord. If you want to go pray with someone else, that's fine. Get up and move. Go to them. But I'm going to ask you just to pray and ask the Lord to help you to evaluate where you're at in your surrender. Are you still doing those things that God has asked you to do some years ago or of recently? Does He have all of you or only a portion? Are you fully surrendered? Father, as we prepare to close tonight, I want to praise You and thank You. for your goodness, for thy sweet Holy Spirit that brings conviction, to bring things to our attention and to our awareness. And Father, I pray that you start with me as pastor. Father, help me to be the pastor, the husband, the father, the grandfather, the brother, the son that you would have me to be. Father, help me on a daily basis to reflect and to remember those things which you have called me to do, those things that you've showed me that you would help me to do, to be busy about my Father's business. Help me to not do things partway, halfway, but Lord, to give my all in all that I do in ministry and service to the folks here at Harvest, here in our community, and most importantly, Lord, as you lead and as you have me serve my Savior. Lord, help us all individually and collectively, Lord, to strive and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Help us to be fully surrendered, Lord, even sometimes, though it may be scary, of not knowing what it is that you may want us to do. But Lord, help us to be willing, knowing that you will equip us and help us to do the things that you've called us to do. Father, again, thank you for your love. Thank you for the privilege of being here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for my church family, for the folks here tonight. I pray your blessings upon them, you encourage and strengthen them. Be with those that are not with us this morning. Brother Sam, who's still under the weather. Miss Carol, that's in the hospital. The York family, Lord, just bless them. I've heard them about, Lord, and strengthen them and heal them and bring them back to full strength. And Father, help us tonight to reflect, even during our quiet time tonight as we prepare for bed and our tomorrow, to reflect on the message tonight and the aspect of surrender. And Lord, help us to take and keep those short accounts and looking to see how we are surrendered and where things could be improved. Now, Father, bless, dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship. And once again, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, as always, the Lord loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be help any way, please don't hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.